Anybody here a good cook? No, no. So there's a few like I'm a bit not admitting it. I'm a bit of a chef, and I guys, with emphasis on the word bit. Right, I can do pretty good fruit and fiber in the microwave, a cereal, with skim milk. I like a skim milk on it. I can do that. But my sort of top thing I can make is genuinely now, and I love it. I think I've perfected it. Beans on toast, but with a twist, right? What I like doing is doing beans on toast with tiger bread. Anybody like tiger bread? Got to have tiger bread. Bit of cheese on it. Bit of maple syrup, because I love that. It's absolutely delicious. It is nice, honestly, it is. Bit of maple syrup. It's a bit like the American breakfast. And I like cooking two fried eggs, but in olive oil. It's got to be in olive oil. I don't like olive oil. You're all going to try it after, aren't you? Ditch the Sunday roast today. Go for that, all right? That's the best. But I do actually like using olive oil. And olive oil is the center of this story we're going to look at today. I'm going to take you back 2,900 years. That's a long time ago, isn't it? But you know, the Bible's amazing. God's words relevant then and relevant today and be relevant forever. God speaks to us through his word. And we're going to look at 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. And we've heard of Elijah. I'm going to get this mixed up today. So it's Elisha, all right? We've heard of Elijah, haven't we? And his protege, or his apprentice, if you want to call it, was a prophet called Elisha. And Elisha was an amazing guy. And when Elijah was taken up into heaven, Elisha, do you know what he asked for? A double portion of the spirit that God had put in Elijah. Do you know, I thought that spoke to me straight away. If God said you could have anything, what would you ask for? £1 million? Brand new house? A boat? What would you ask for? Something like that? Or, you know, maybe something like that springing to mind. I thought this guy asked, I want double what he's got. I want double of your presence, God, in my life. I thought that was really, that challenged me, that did. Do I want double what somebody else has? I've seen the anointing out of the people's lives. And the incredible thing is, God blessed him with that double blessing. Because he did twice the miracles, if you count them up, twice the number of miracles that Elijah did. Isn't that fantastic? And you know, the miracles were performed for God using him to meet the needs of people. So this story here, we look at chapter 4 in 2 Kings, and I'll go through it verse by verse. And it says, the wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elisha in verse 1, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as slaves. What a predicament that lady was in there. The lady, the family was a godly family, but they were in debt. They had debtors in those days, and what was worse, somebody was coming to get the money off them. It was an awful situation. But the law then said that if you owed somebody money, you could release one of your family to work for them to pay back out of their earnings the money that they owed. But these people had twisted the law and they said, we're going to have them as slaves. We want you 2 guys, your 2 sons as slaves. Can you imagine? Not only was that lady, that poor lady, in a terrible state because of the debt, she probably had nothing left, but it says she had nothing left in the house. But also, they were coming to take the things she loved the most away, her children away. And can you imagine? She was probably waiting for that bang on the door, isn't she? Imagine that situation there. And it was a terrible situation. But what did she do? It says, she said then, she cried out to Elisha. You know, in a desperate need, she cried out to the man of God. She cried out to God. And sometimes we try and do so many things ourselves, don't we? But you know, when you're in need, try calling on God first. You know, God hears every prayer we say. He loves us with all his heart, and he answers our prayers. And it says in verse 2, Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And I thought then, that's a strange thing to say. You know, number one, I love the fact that Elisha didn't say, nothing to do with me, mate. You know, I'm off. I can't get involved in this. You know, he said, what can I do for you? That's a heart of wanting to serve someone, isn't it? In a terrible crisis, instead of backing away, he wanted to help that family. But the strange thing is, it's like a God moment, the next part of the question is. He says, how can I help you? And then he says a really strange thing. Tell me what you've got in the house. That's an odd thing to say, isn't it? What would you have asked? If somebody said, I'm in a terrible mess, my first question would be, how much do you owe? Wouldn't that, has that come to mind to you? Or something like that. Oh, all right. And then he'd probably think, oh, I've got some money. I can help you out there temporarily. I can do something for you. But he didn't ask that. And I believe God dropped that into his heart to ask, what have you got in the house? Because God was going to do a miracle through this situation. And I thought that was there. So she said, I have nothing there at all. So she had to think, I got nothing in the house. Now she was probably thinking, what would you have thought of? Have I got something to sell? You know, have I got some jewelry? Have I got something, maybe a family heirloom they could sell? She said, I got nothing in my house at all, which was what a situation, isn't it? She had nothing there at all. But she remembered then, I'll go and get mine now. I'll be there. She said she remembered that all she had in the house was a little drop of olive oil. That's all she had left. What a situation to be in. But she had something. She had something there, a little drop of olive oil. And it just spoke to me again. You know, when God says, I want to use you, maybe you say, oh, me? I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. But you know, God only needs something small. It's not about what we've got. It's about who he is. A little tiny thing in God's hands can be changed into a miraculous situation. So don't ever think, I can't do anything for God. Even if you just got that willingness to give something and remember what you've got in your heart, even if it's, you know, a small thing you can do. Oh, Lord, I haven't got much, but I can be nice to people. I can go make coffee. I can do something like that. You know, God will bless that. Just offering them up that little thing. A little drop of olive oil. Now, I don't know how much this lady owed, but it sounded pretty serious to have her children being taken away as slaves. So I think it sounded like a lot of cash to me. So she was owing. Is that going to sell? I don't know. I have no idea how much this costs. £2 or £3? But probably that's 50p's worth for there. You know, and the lady says, that's all I got is this. And what would you have thought straight away? That ain't going to meet anywhere near what I owe. You know, say it was 10,000 quid. That's not going to meet that need, is it? No way. So that's all she had was a little drop of olive oil. But Elisha says something which sounds absolutely bonkers. He says this. She said, I've got nothing here at all except the small olive oil. And in verse 3, he says this. Elisha said, go round and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Can you imagine what she was thinking? Can you imagine what her children were thinking? What? You want me to go around and knock every door, all my neighbors living around here, and get any empty jars from them? It doesn't sound normal at all, does it? Nothing at all. If he'd have said, go around and knock the neighbors' doors and ask them, have they got any money to spare? Can they give you something just to help you? That might have been reasonable. But she says, the prophet said that, no, because God was directed him. And then he said, don't just ask for a few. So, you know, even more embarrassing, she got to say, what have you got? As many as you got in the house, give to me. Not just one or two, no, give them all to me. Give them all to me. And then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. So the three of them go into the house, lock the door behind them. And then this is the even crazier part. Pour the oil, this oil now, into all the jars. And as each one is filled, put it to the side. Well, come on, let's be real. This is a real story. What would you have done? Would you have said, sorry, Elisha, it's very meaningful. You were crazy, absolutely crazy. There is no way that you're asking me now to get every jar from this street, get all those empty jars and fill it up with this. Look how much is here. It's only that much. You know, if I'm lucky to get half a cup out of it. Absolutely crazy. But this is fantastic. The woman realized God was in this, and faith rose in her heart. So it says she left him, shut the door behind her, exactly as the prophet has said. She was obedient. They went and got all the jars. So they went round the streets, banging, knocking the doors. Can I have your jars? Can I have your jars? People are thinking, what are you doing? Okay, yeah, go on then. Can I, what would you say? Can we have him? Make sure you bring him back when you finish them. give me all the jars. And she brought them into the house. And they did this. It's only a simple example. So she got all these jars. So she probably put one out first, I would imagine. Wouldn't you? And then she went like this. And she poured and she poured. And her sons were with her. And as she was pouring, that little amount, this jar was full. What? Can you imagine that? She must have thought, this is incredible. Look at this. That one's full. Then she got another one. And another one. And another one. And they kept filling. That one was full. That one was full. That one was full. Fill, 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 fill. More and more and more, more cups. Until every single one of them was absolutely full of the best olive oil. And she said to her sons, any more jars left? No, that's it, ma'am. Everything is full. And you know, I believe as well, the original jar she had with that olive oil, the same amount was still in there. The same amount. Nothing had been taken from that, I believe. And every single one of those jars, probably hundreds and hundreds of jars, were filled with that olive oil. It blows your mind, doesn't it, that God did a miracle like that. God provided the miracle. He's the creator. He's the one who created the olive oil in the beginning. But he just was bountiful and it overflowed. Every single bottle was full. Probably, what's that? 100 milliliters? I imagine there was gallons of the stuff. Gallons and gallons and gallons of the best olive oil filling up every single jar. Do you know why that happened? Because that lady and her sons had faith. And number two, they were obedient. They listened to an instruction that would make no sense to any of us at all. That lady trusted the word of God through the prophet and did exactly what the prophet had said. With faith, the impossible becomes possible. And that's the same for our lives as well. If there's something impossible in your life, through faith in Jesus Christ and what he can do, not what we can do, he makes it possible. And I did that quite straightforward over there. I can imagine they were dancing around the room with everyone that was filled up. As it got more and more, the joy that was coming to their hearts, the miracle that was happening in front of them. And it was a private miracle because God just wanted to show to them his love, care, and mercy to them. That's why they shut the door. Not so everybody in the street could come in and say, ooh, look at this. This was about God being straight into their hearts, direct to them, meeting their needs. And then she went, it says it's so straightforward. She went then, And then when the oil, every jar was full, the oil stopped flowing. So every jar was full in the house. And it says very straightforward. She went and told the man of God. She went and told the man, I bet she was running up the street, jumping up and down, wasn't she? Look at this, look at this, look at this has happened. Elisha, you said to do this. Every single jar is absolutely full of the best olive oil we've ever tasted. It is incredible. I bet the tears were running down her face. Her kids were jumping up and down. Absolutely amazing. And then he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debts. So she went and sold the oil and paid the debts. And I love this. So you and your sons can also live on what's left. Not only did God meet the need, the debt, he went way over and above and gave her what she needed, the money when she sold that oil, for them to live without living in debt. And I believe she never lived in debt again. God met that need in that incredible, absolutely amazing miracle there. Enough for their daily lives as well. So it's an amazing miracle, isn't it? And if that doesn't inspire you, I don't know what does. You know, God is a God who changes the impossible to the possible through faith in him, whatever situation we are in this morning. And just some of the things that spoke to me. The oil. What's the oil speak of? The oil speaks of God's presence, his Holy Spirit, and anointing, isn't it, in our lives? And these are the things that spoke to me. Just wonder how much oil is in our lives. You know, we may have a tiny little bit of oil in our lives. God wants us to be full this morning, like those jars. But we may have a tiny bit of God in our lives. But you know, if you say, Lord, I just want more of you. Do you know God is a merciful, gracious God, and he'll fill us to overflowing. Don't settle for that. Be a full container of God's Holy Spirit today. And it's been, how do we do that? It's been in a relationship with him every day. If anybody here today thinks we're religious, forget it. This isn't a religion. This is a relationship with the living God. You know, I'm not interested in religion. I'm interested in loving Jesus because he died for me and came into my heart at 8 years old. And I got a living relationship with him. That's what it's about, isn't it? We can't work our way to get to God. God came down, as Paul said earlier, to be with us and have a relationship with us. Number two, the woman showed faith in obedience in what she did. You know, it was a crazy instruction, but she did it exactly as the prophet had said, from God speaking to the prophet. You know, when God speaks to us, whatever situation we're in, put our faith and trust in him and listen to him. How do we listen to him? Number one, through reading his word every day. God speaks to you. You know, I've been in many situations in my life and said, Lord, I don't know what to do anymore. I can't solve this. And you know, I read it from God's word, and it's like, boing, words come out of the page. I don't know if that's the same for you, but God speaks right into my heart through his word. He's incredible and says to do this. And I know then, yeah, I'll do that, Lord. And you know, every time I've done that, it's been a fantastic, amazing result. If I'd done it, it would be a mess, but God speaks to us. So put your trust in him 100%. Here's something to a little quote for you if you want. Self-dependency is the enemy of God's supernatural life for you. Self-dependency is the enemy of God's supernatural life for you. Don't trust yourself. Trust in him for everything we do. Seek God for the answer. Have faith in him. Even that little bit of faith, that lady and her family showed faith in God. And I love that song we sang last week. I'm not a singer, right? That one, and the chorus says, he will never fail. He will never, ever fail. God does not fail. Trust him. He will never, ever fail you. Next one, God isn't limited. We limit God so much. We think God is like us. He's not. Look what he did. He wasn't limited with our little body of oil. He blessed in abundance. He filled. Do you know, if they'd been able to make jars, he would have filled every one of those as well. If they could produce them, whatever it was, if a bathtub, anything, God would have filled them. Don't let you think that God's limited at all. He can do over and abundance in all our lives. In his miraculous hands, he can change situations. We need to be obedient to him, don't we? That's a key thing as well. This lady was obedient. So being obedient to him, listening to him, because he's got the best for us. You know, God wants to do everything for us. And whatever we've got in our lives, putting it in God's hands will multiply it. If you think, as I said earlier, if it's a gift of hospitality you've got in your life, you know, say, Lord, I hand that over to you. He'll give, you know, over an abundance. He will help you with that. Lord, I may be talented. I can play the piano or something. Give that to him. God will, you know, anoint that ministry. If it's just talking to people, we're all good at talking, don't we? If it's just talking to people, encourage people. Say, Lord, fill my speech with your Holy Spirit and let me speak into those needs. That's what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are there for, is to minister to people as well. Just doing that. Hand them over to him. That little bit of oil becomes overflowing. And when we overflow, it overflows into other people's lives. And for the miracle they needed, there we go. They needed empty jars. empty jars. But you know, in our lives, I borrowed the coffee. Imagine this is a jar. That could be full of, that could be our jar, full of ourselves, full of the things we want to do, things that, occupy us, materialism. The biggest problem we've got is ourselves. I want. You know, that stems from everything. How much, there's only that much I could get of oil in that jar, because it's absolutely rammed full of coffee in there. Like, but there's only much that much I could get of. God doesn't want that. God wants that. He wants our lives to be full of him. It says this in Timothy. It says this. And this is just speaking about what people want in their lives. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and are trapped into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into all ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and endurance and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called for. You know, the best thing in life isn't the thing this world offers. The best thing in life is Jesus. He is the best. But if we've filled our lives up, or our ambitions, or things with this all the time, the world stuff, you know, we leave no room for God in our lives, do we? It's not, you know, just a sprinkling, come to Sunday morning, yeah, I've done that, tick. You know, it's not about that. This is about our desires or our heart. What is our motivation in our hearts? Is it for God or is it for ourselves? That's the difference. God wants empty jars so he can fill. And you know when he fills, your life will be the best life ever, because God will fill our lives to abundance with the best, him. And that's the best thing we can have in life. Seek him first, isn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All those other things he'll give to you. But our heart will be, wow, you are number one, God. I just want to seek you in my life. And then finally, the miracle, that faith, that drop of oil, that miracle in God's hands resulted in freedom. Freedom for those children. Freedom from the heartbreak for that mother. Freedom from slavery. And freedom from debt for life. And I just thought, what an image of Jesus Christ. Jesus came. He died on the cross for you and me. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Isn't it? We are trapped in slavery. We are trapped in slavery to sin. But Jesus, nothing of us, you can never be good enough to go to heaven. But Jesus, the miracle is he came and he paid the creditors. He paid the debt for our sins. He paid it for you and me. But the faith part of that is in obedience, is saying, Lord Jesus, I accept that you died on that cross for me. Forgive me the sins. I can't pay for my debt of sin. Come into my heart and free me. And you know, that's what Jesus did. I was 8 years old when I did that. And he came, I knew that even as a kid, I knew that I was free from sin and going to a lost eternity, not because what I'd done, it's because the miracle of what Jesus did. He comes and he delivers. And you know, even though life isn't easy, God has been with me every step of the way. And he's been brilliant all my life. And you know, I just can't praise him enough this morning for what he's done for me and what he continues to do for me in my life. It's a miracle what he does. So this morning, all this I want to bring to morning, this morning just points to one thing, is God's love and mercy. This is all about Jesus today. He was the one who, God was the one who through Elijah released that woman from a terrible situation and her family. He's amazing. It was because of his love and mercy. He did the miracle, the amazing miracle, just using that faith and obedience and that little bit of what the lady had to offer, a little bit of herself going into that, and he did an incredible miracle, setting them free from that terrible future they could have had, but he put them on a glorious future. He was amazing. So I don't know if that's you this morning. You may be sitting here. You may think this is a religion. You may have come here and think, I just go to church this Sunday, done, job done, etc. Don't miss out on the best life you can have. Don't have a life just seeking your own things and seeking the things of the world, you know, that doesn't satisfy. That'll be it. That's it. But you know, do you want a life that's overflowing with the best that God can give you? Do you want a life that's filled and keeps on filling and filling other people and blessing other people? You know, that's the best life you can have. And that's all you need to do is surrender your life to Jesus and say, Lord, I accept what you did on that cross for me. Thank you, you rose again. I believe you paid the debt for me, for my sins. Forgive my sins, come into my heart. And I just want to live my life for you, Lord. And number two this morning, if you're a Christian this morning, and maybe you've allowed your jar to be full of self, so many things you want to do, I want to do, I want to chase this, chase that. You know, maybe say, Lord, sorry, Lord, I've been going the wrong way. I don't want to be foolish with my life. Empty me of those things, Lord, and just fill me with your anointing. Holy Spirit, fill me every single day. And you know, God loves you so much. He just fill you to overflowing. And you will be a blessing to yourself, for yourself, and to others as well. That's what God does, isn't he? Incredible.